today, which is Isaiah chapter 42. And in this, as we have learned, especially in our Wednesday night services, when God gives a prophecy, especially in the Old Testament, there is always a near fulfillment and a far fulfillment of those prophecies. That's what makes God's supernatural prophecies so great and wonderful, is that they're usually talking about two events. So when we read the passage in Isaiah that the maiden shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, okay, what that was the near fulfillment, that there was a young lady that was married, and she was in the royal household, and the whole nation of Israel is just saying, oh, we've been brought into captivity, and all these people are here, and they're just, you know, they're beating up on us, and, you know, we've lost our blessings from God and all of this. And so Isaiah, by God's Holy Spirit, says, no, don't lose hope, because this is what's going to happen. This young lady is going to conceive and bear a son, and by the time he's old enough to know the difference between good and bad, these two kings that occupy your land right now, dead and gone. Okay? And so that verse was originally a prophecy of hope. Don't lose hope, because God is going to be true to his word. But there is a far fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Amen? And so, again, the young lady shall conceive, and the word virgin is not used there, although in Hebrew it's used interchangeably. Because if you were a unmarried young lady and you're pregnant, what would happen to you? You die. Okay, that was not allowed, though. That activity was not allowed in the Hebrew culture. And so, you know, we're automatically, whenever we see a young lady there, we're always assuming that if she's with child, that she is probably married. Now, the Jews allowed I don't know what you would call it, but they said, if you truly did conceive and you weren't married, but you didn't lay with a man, then you could claim that this was Emmanuel. This was God with us. And the Sanhedrin, which was the ruling council of the Jews, actually had an investigative team that would go out and investigate these claims, because Mary wasn't the only one who claimed to be bearing God's son. It happened several times, and so this investigative team would go out and would interview everybody and come back and say, "Now she's lying through her teeth. Put her to death." And that's what would happen. And we have the notes. I have a book that's called the Arco Volume, if any of you would like to see it. We have the notes that actually talk about the team that was sent out to investigate Mary and Joseph and all of their friends and neighbors. And the result of that investigation was, we can't see where she's lying about anything. They didn't want to accept the fact that this was, her child was Emmanuel, the Messiah, but they're saying we probably ought not to put her to death because we can't see where she's lying about anything. Interesting concept, all right. So here in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 42, we have another prophecy. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. And this is a prophetic vision about the Messiah, the Son of God. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the nations. And so this is all about Jesus Christ. Now, it was also about a king that would be raised up after the captivity that would bring peace to Israel. And we know that after they returned, after the nation of Israel returned from captivity, that they had 200 or 300 years of relative peace. And so that was the first, the near fulfillment. But this, just like all the other prophecies, has a near fulfillment and a far fulfillment. And it's talking about Jesus. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the streets. And we know that Jesus was unlike the other street preachers, even his cousin John the Baptist. He didn't get out there yelling and screaming at people. John the Baptist would. Y'all bunch of vipers. I mean, he would get, all right. And, you know, it ultimately got him put to death, okay. But that's not Jesus' ministry. Verse 3 says, a bruised reed he will not break. What is a bruised reed? Well, some of us have not been out in swampy areas where the reeds are growing, but a bruised reed is something that has been brushed against by maybe another person or maybe an animal or whatever, and now it's weak at that point. And it's saying that Jesus, if he comes up against a bruised reed, he's not going to break it off. He's going to show compassion to that. And I would liken that this morning to our hearts. How many of us come in here this morning with bruised hearts? Amen? And isn't it great to know, isn't it a blessing to know that Jesus isn't going to come in and say, well, I told you so. You know, what do you expect? No, he doesn't do that. He ministers to that bruised reed. It's that dimly burning wick he will not quench. And so what was their source of light during those days? They had little oil lamps. And for various reasons, you run out of wick, you run out of oil or whatever, and now the flame isn't very high. And it says, he's not going to come along and snuff out the last little bit of light. As long as our light so shines, amen, then our ministry still exists on this life. And people ask me, well, Pastor, how come I have to live here? I'm old, I'm in pain, I don't see what difference my life has. As long as you have even the dimmest of light shining, so that your neighbors see that hope, that peace, that love in your heart, you still have a ministry in the kingdom. Amen? And so he's not gonna quench out that dimly burning wick. He will faithfully bring forth justice. I would say that in our justice system today, the biggest problem with our justice system is that there isn't justice in the justice system. All right? People are led off on technicalities. People are led off because they've got enough money that they can hire the super smart lawyers and the little public defenders or the district attorney's office. They're just, you know, laboring under whatever load that they have. Is there really justice in our justice system today? I'm not saying to get rid of it, because it's all we have right now, and as long as a judge cannot see into somebody's heart, then our justice system will always be flawed. And praise God, the Bible says that when Jesus comes back to rule in justice and equity, that he sees our hearts. So you can be the best liar in the world and stand before Jesus and say, oh no, Jesus, I didn't mean that. And Jesus sitting there saying, you little liar. You think you can lie to me? And I don't see that? Okay. So it's just what we have, but that's what he's going to bring forth. Don't get so beset about what we see going on around us today with people dying maybe unjustly or whatever, in the men's breakfast this morning, a man came in and he was just so upset because of the lady that had two children that lost her life because the ICE agent shot her. Okay, and you know, he was just so upset that this could happen. Well, you know, first of all, I'd say wait until the investigation's over. Okay, because all we have now is just this person's testimony, that person's testimony. But, you know what? When Jesus comes back, there will be justice for everyone. Not those of certain political parties, not those with certain bank account balances, not those with certain last names, or the color of your skin. Jesus sees the heart. Amen. I just want to stop and tell a story. The first time I took Terry to India with me was quite an eye opener for her, because she has never seen third world abject poverty. And we were in a place called Edatpetha. They have never seen a white person before, ever. I asked the old men, have any white people ever been? Oh, we've never seen people like y'all. Never, you know. They didn't say y'all, but okay. So here's Terry. She had her strawberry blonde hair, green eyes, her perfect little complexion, pale complexion. And when she and her friends from the United States were walking through the plaza, you know, people selling their wares or whatever, traffic came to a stop. They ain't never seen anybody like this. Well, even in little villages like that at the Petha, the school curriculum is still taught in English, because they recognize that if you're going to compete in the world market, you have to know English. So the classes are given in English. And so Terry is there fielding questions from the school children. They're so cute. And while she is talking, she feels somebody doing this on her hand. And she looks down, and there's this child rubbing on her hand. She says, "Child, what are you doing?" She says, "Oh, miss, I want to see if the paint rubs off." We're all the same. We're all the same. Some of us got used whitewash on. Some of us, he got a little more creative and you know, used different colors or whatever. But, you know, if you could wipe that off, we'd all be the same. Amen? And so, with Jesus, that isn't going to matter. He's going to rule in true equity. Okay, and so he says, he will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teachings. God is not going to give up until there is universal justice. And that's what we call the millennial reign of Christ, the thousand-year reign of Christ. Amen? Okay, but listen to what he says here. Thus says the Lord God, who created the heavens and stretched them out and spread out the earth and what comes from it, and who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. And one thing that's interesting, who created the heavens and stretched them out. That word in Hebrew is to cast it out, and it just keeps going. And what do scientists tell us today? That our universe is still growing. How about that? Science agrees with the Bible. All right. I don't say that the Bible agrees with science, because science is always changing. And if it doesn't agree with the Bible now, just wait a year or two, it will. Okay. Verse 6. Folks, take this home with you tonight. Okay. I am the Lord. That's what Jesus said. I am the Lord. I have called you. Y'all remember what it was like to be 10 years old and have mama call you for dinner? Amen? Or maybe you didn't, you just had the rule that if the, when the street lights come on, y'all better be home. Okay? One of the two. I think my mom would be happy if I just didn't come home, but not. Okay. I have called you in righteousness. See, you have to be called from something to something. When I'm out there riding my bike and enjoying myself, I'm being called from riding around on my bike to getting washed up and coming to dinner. You're called from something to something. I've called you in righteousness. That's what we've been called to, folks. And righteousness, what does that mean? It means right living. That's all that righteousness means. Living it right. Living it right according to God's Word. That's what righteous living is. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. Well, I don't feel him taking me by the hand. That's because you're thinking with your physical nature. But in the spirit, he has taken you by the hand. And he's kept you. You're here today. Think of people in your family, friends, that aren't here today. You're here today. Why? Because he has ordained you. Be here today. I have given you as a covenant to the people. What does that mean? That's how God shows his promise of love to the world, is through us. Remember, John 3 tells us, for God so loved just those who would become Christians, that whosoever believeth on him, no, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son. Amen? God's goal is the world, not just the church. God's goal is that the world will be the church. Amen? And so I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify you. No? Glorify your mama. No? Yeah. And that's right. And glorify the Father. Amen? Amen. To open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. There is so much for us to do. Well, Pastor, I'm 70-some years old. Pastor, I'm 80-some years old. Pastor, I'm 90-some years old. What do you expect of me to do? I can't get out and do this stuff anymore. No, but your dialing finger works just as good. You can pick up your phone and you can call somebody that the Lord has put on your heart. Amen? People just need to know that somebody's thinking about them somewhere. In this world that is becoming so impersonal. I don't believe that a person under 16 can carry on a face-to-face conversation with somebody. They gotta do it through their smartphone. They gotta hammer out a text message or whatever. I personally don't believe that a young person can come up and look you in the eye and carry on a conversation with you. Why? Yeah. They haven't been taught how to do it, huh? All right. But we do have the same technology, and we can use that technology. Like I said last week, we have the whole area of Bihar that I can't send pastors to right now because they get themselves killed when they go there. All right. But we've already been through the area. We've already set up television sets, television video cameras, and a Zoom station. on the internet. And every Sunday, the message goes out in their language from New Delhi, where it's relatively safe. Amen? That's what we can do. So don't look at what you can't do, because I was looking at what I can't do, but I didn't look at the I can, and say, oh, I guess I just won't then. God used the I can'ts to show me the you can's. Amen? And that's where we came up. And that all came out of the COVID thing. That's how we were having church together back during COVID. And so here we are bemoaning, you know, that we have to meet together over the Zoom call or whatever, come to find out that God would use that experience to open up whole areas of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's pretty cool. I saw it as a limitation. God says, no, you moron, it's an opportunity. Okay, verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. He's a jealous God. You got a lick of sense, you'll serve Him. You'll praise Him. Amen? And then, see, the former things have come to pass, the new things I now declare, that before they spring forth, I tell you of them. And so, this is Old Testament. But in fact, when Jesus, when He died on the cross, remember at the Last Supper, He said, this is the new covenant. That's what the church is. The church is the new covenant. God is relating to the world in a new way. It's not by keeping a list of do's or don'ts. It's by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And once you've done that, the only thing He holds you responsible for is let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify the Father. That's the Christian walk in just a phrase. Your life matters. Amen? And so, we're beginning a new year. And I have great hopes for this new year. And one thing that happened at the close of the banquet last night is we had a changing of command. Now, unless you've been at, you know, in the military, most people have never witnessed, most people in the military have never witnessed a change of command. And basically, what happens is that the new person that's coming on is standing here. The person that is presently doing the job is standing here, and they will take the guidon. Every unit in the military has a guidon. If you're an Air Force flight, that flight will have a flag that's called a guidon. It represents them. Guidons came about back, you know, even before the birth of Jesus, when you had enemies in combat with each other, you had to tell where the good guys were and the bad guys were. Alright, so you'd look for that flag, that banner. Banner over me is love. Okay, that guidon. And so the old commander, the one that is relinquishing command, will take that guidon. And then he will turn to the person that's coming on, and he says, I relinquish my command, and gives him the guidon. Alright? Then the guy who is, I did it wrong already, hands it to an intermediary, and then the intermediary turns to the one who is now taking command, and he hands him the guidon, and the guy taking it, the new guy, says, I accept command. So I am surrendering command, I am accepting command. In this year, hopefully, Jesus is in command. Amen? But, if there is a small chance that you use Him as a source of information and maybe guidance, but command? Nah, I'm still in command. This may be a good year to decide, I'm going to relinquish command to Jesus. Amen? I'm going to relinquish command to Jesus. Because no matter how wild the ride gets, when you know that Jesus is in command. You remember that song, Jesus, Take My Hand? All right. And they've had videos on Facebook of what happens when, you know, it's Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel. All right, that's what it was. Jesus, take the wheel. And it shows this guy sitting in the passenger side. And Jesus is driving. And, man, they are busting through all sorts of stuff. They're just going through all these different, you know, roads and through the rivers and all that good stuff. And the song is playing, you know, Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel. And you know what? If you ever do let Jesus take the wheel, hold on tight. Amen? Because you could be fixing to have quite the ride. That my Arkansas leaked out just a little bit there. You know, there just might be quite the ride in store for you. But see, we like to be in control, so we don't let Jesus take the wheel. We'll let him give us some suggestions, but we're still the ones in control of the steering wheel. Amen? This year, I really want to let Jesus take the wheel. Amen? Right now, the Holy Spirit's saying, do you really? Yes, Lord, I really do. Okay. Are you sure? Yes, Lord, I really am. yeah, amen. And so, he has great things for us. Has prophesied before Jesus was born. This is Old Testament stuff that we've been reading, telling exactly what Jesus was like when he'd walk his life on this earth. And telling us exactly what he would be like when he walked as Messiah during that 1,000-year reign. How it's just going to be perfect. But do we have enough faith to just, Jesus, live that life through me. Live that life through me. That's a scary thing to do. Why me? Jesus, live that life through me. Live that life through me. No, Father.